All right. So, Alex, thanks so much for joining the podcast. You told me you just came back from a retreat. Maybe we can start with that. How was your experience with Vipassana? And I think you did something else.
Yes. I know, perfect timing. I just came back from two retreats. I was on my first Vipassana retreat. Well, I guess technically it was a metta retreat, so a loving kindness retreat, but it was silent for a week. First time I ever, longest I have never done meditation for more than a day long silence. So 7 days, no talking. 5:45 we woke up, 9:30 we went to bed. It was an amazing experience. I think how I've described it to people is it either sounds like heaven to you or like hell, and it's kind of both. It's just amazing to me how much you can accomplish, for lack of a better word, just by sitting, just by sitting with yourself, especially. I've been on, I can go into it, but I've been really kind of obsessed with the concept of stillness for a few years, especially as someone who has had anxiety in the past and depression and, stillness, inner peace. And I found so many people are afraid of sitting still because, especially as someone who's run from her own demons, right? The moment you stop, everything catches up to you and you have to sit and face it. And that is certainly, I've done a lot of work, but certainly a lot of stuff came up in this retreat. So that's where I was 2 weeks ago. And then this past weekend, I was at Esalen. I don't know if you've heard it of it. It's it's amazing. One of my favorite places in the world. Second time I've
I
been
saw your
there.
photos. Looks amazing.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, it is a pretty famous retreat center in Big Sur in California. It's kind of the place where the human potential movement was kind of founded, which I'm sure resonates a lot with you, Nick. But they host teachers from all different religions, all different belief systems, for workshops, and you can go and stay. So I was actually there for a shamanism workshop. I've gotten very
Amazing.
interested in shamanism in the past few years. So it was a self-healer workshop. So an elder from both Northern and Southern America traditions, kind of teaching about shamanism, spirits, self-healing. It's a very beautiful experience and special to have those two back to back.
For
I
sure,
was
for
not
sure.
necessarily planning that.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that because I mean, I did have a Vipassana retreat in Nepal a few years ago. I also did like a sham. I guess it's the Filipino version of a shamanic ritual in Palawan. And these things are really powerful. And sometimes I feel like when you start integrating back into like the real world, there's always you try to explain it to other people, and some of them just think, oh, it's just woo woo, but you realize that the things that happened to you in that experience is just so profound. And I'm curious, you're doing art now, you're doing working on NFTs. How do you connect that, your spiritual experiences, the Vipassana, the insights, like how do you translate that into your art?
So it's so interconnected, I have only been practicing art professionally for 2 years. I've been an artist my whole life. I love, when I was little, I dreamed of being an artist, but I never thought that was kind of a real path for me. And similarly, I guess with spirituality, the joke here in the States is now everyone's spiritual, but no one's religious. But I honestly felt like that since I was little. Obviously, I was raised very devoutly Catholic, like many of us. And I never once questioned that God was real, but I had a hard time with a lot of the teachings. They just didn't resonate with me. But even when I was little, I was very afraid of spirits. I always thought there were spirits around. And in my head, I was just making it up. And as you kind of learn as you get older, you're like, oh, maybe, or not maybe, like I was sensing something. But to get back to your question, I mean, how it all connects, I didn't really talk about spirituality. I still have a little bit, you know, every time I say spirituality, I still have a little bit of fear around it because of exactly what you said, right? Having spent 10 years in the business world, having been kind of like your classic overachiever for so long, there's a lot of resistance to those concepts. And a lot of my personal work has been, you know, figuring out how I can be a bridge to left brain, right brain, to the rational and the spiritual. And my art kind of has woven a lot into that. So I started practicing professionally 2 years ago, and that was kind of in accordance with me more actively moving kind of against the spiritual path, I guess you could call it. I got more interested in, I was always interested in different religions and humanism, but, you know, started attending more retreats, started deepening my meditation practice. And for me personally, I mean, my art was very healing. I struggled with depression through most of my 20s, and my whole life, art is where I would kind of retreat to. I could spend hours and hours in the studio, and like everything hard would fall away. So that part was deeply personal. And as I started to kind of practice professionally, I started painting abstract for the first time. I know you paint abstract too. And that, you know, painting abstract is such, there's so, you have to surrender control when you paint abstract, exactly, right? For sure. Because with figural work, there is more of a right and wrong. It either looks like something or it doesn't. Yeah. And abstract, it's, for me at least, it's so intuitive. It's so much like in flow, what the spirit moves you, if that's what you want to call it. And I found that it was almost like meditation for me. And then as I started to share my art, I would start to share, you know, the motivations behind the pieces. So I'll have paintings that have two different color palettes. And I had been thinking about how two people come together who are very different and that kind of stuff. And I found it was actually easy to talk about spirituality within the themes of painting. I've been calling it kind of like sneaky spirituality, you know? Words are so powerful. People love to hear that you had a dream about something, but they feel very scared if you dare say you had a vision.
Yeah.
So I'll use words like dreams. More thing I saw in meditation. You know, I saw it when I was painting. You can talk a lot of these about why a lot of people hold in spirituality, Buddhism, meditation, like constantly right. Everyone, but there's been such a resistance towards some of the words that people will close off if they hear certain words, but in like hide in art or in yoga, some writing. Oh, you're back. Sorry. When did I lose you?
just like a second. You're good.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so you're talking about the words like with yoga and then the disconnect sometimes with people, and you're trying to make it more relatable for others.
Mm-hmm. I think even, you know, we started at the beginning talking about stillness. It's like if someone says they want inner peace, even I kind of like want to eye roll. But when you ask anyone, like we all do, that's all kind of what we want. We want some sense of calm. We want some sense of alignment, and it's just finding, and that resonates very deeply. You know, I spent 10 years kind of in the tech world, so much toxic stress, everyone's just looking for a way to calm down and calm into themselves. But there's a lot of resistance around what that's called, even if everyone is kind of feeling the same thing. So that kind of like universal human experience really interests me. And more, you know, I'm very interested in how different traditions approach it, which has brought me to Buddhism and shamanism. And, you know, I've studied Catholicism for a long time in school. But that kind of stuff, like making the connections between, playing with words, figuring out how to get those messages out in a way that feels approachable, has kind of unintentionally become a big part of my work.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you can tell, like, with the looking at your painting, there's like a calm to it, you know, where I'm like, there, you know, when I paint, it's the stroke, you know, it's how it feels. Mm-hmm. Not really the, I mean, for me, it's not really the, you know, the how it's going to look in the end. But sometimes you just feel like you got to stop, or sometimes you got to feel like you have to keep going on. And I think that's sort of how my meditation practices evolved as well, wherein, you know, sometimes you can sit for 20 minutes, sometimes you can sit for 2 minutes, and you wrestle with that because you think it's supposed to be perfect, but then it's not. It's just you sitting and getting to know yourself, learning how to be kinder to yourself. And I'm curious, like, you know, how has your practice evolved? Like, because mine has evolved so much. Like, I think even in this pandemic, you can really see the ups and the downs. And maybe you can share how your practice usually goes and how it's evolved the past years.
Yeah. You mean painting specifically, or both painting and meditation?
And meditation, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they really are, when I think about it, so connected. I mean, my best paintings, both the ones that I think are the best and the ones that have sold the quickest, were almost the ones that didn't take as any effort, right? I was totally in flow. And especially, I love what you said about abstract painting, because it's like, people always ask me, how do you know when you're done? And it's just like, you kind of just know. And with every painting, it goes the same way, where I really like, I see something, I really like it. And then inevitably in the middle, I hate it. I'm like, I ruined the painting. And it's just kind of like life, right? Like, there's all this mess that looks bad, and you just have to trust and keep going through. Whether that means for me, literally stepping away from the canvas for a few days, or just kind of trusting the process, for lack of a better term. Over the pandemic, I mean, my art really started with the pandemic. I didn't even, I left my job February 2020, didn't realize it was about to be a pandemic. In fact, I was supposed to go to Siargao for a month. I was supposed to go to Manila for the whole spring. And I canceled my trip because I was like, I feel like I might get stuck in Manila if I go to Manila,
yeah.
March 2020. And so I got stuck in San Francisco, and I started painting every day. And at the time, I was freelance marketing. I wasn't even pursuing art. It still felt like a pipe dream. And I just started painting every day. And so I really think, you know, a lot of my best work, even from the past year and a half, was that early stuff, because there wasn't pressure on it. And I am living through, you know, the interesting thing of now, for a few months, I've been a full-time artist, and it is quite hard to all of a sudden have to sell paintings to make money.
Yeah.
I think over the past year and a half, it's been a mix of freelancing and painting. So like, the money I make from painting feels like extra. I'm kind of working through that. But also it's like, I've gotten advice from some other creatives who are like, you need discipline. You just need to show up and paint every day. And then I have, you know, the same thing from other people who are just like, when the spirit moves you, you do it. And so it still feels really new. Like, I consider myself an artist and a writer. And I barely wrote for most of 2021. I just couldn't do it. But I painted a lot. And recently I have felt very called back to writing. And on the flip side, it's like I just feel like I'm pushing paint on canvas and no magic is happening. I don't know. It's new, but that is my current surrender. I'm like, you know, maybe I just heed the call of where it's going. Maybe I push through, but it's hard. And I'm learning so much. I don't know the answer.
Oh, no, I think that really makes a lot of sense and resonates a lot with me, because like I feel like I also started painting like constantly when the pandemic started, because you're just stuck at home. And mm-hmm. when I started getting clients and asking me to do commissions and stuff, I started feeling like, oh, this is kind of weird. Like, do I really want someone to ask me to do work for them? Because I used to do a lot of client work for shoots, you know, like commercials mm-hmm. and documentaries. And, you know, I guess my I think it's association. When you associate doing work that's for clients, it becomes sort of this, like, it gets pigeonholed. And then when you're doing things mm-hmm. that you love, and you start getting paid for it, becomes sort of like this weird, murky thing. And it's hard, because like it's really hard to paint when you're not in the mood. And I noticed, like, you see, you paint differently, the output changes a lot. But I think that's the thing. Sometimes you get called to write, you get called to paint. And I think the challenge there is, if you're really going at it like in full force and you're making a living out of it, that's when it gets tricky. But you know, the flip side to that is, if you get a normal 9-to-5, then you have to deal with the intricacies of that as well, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's it's nice to hear this from you, because like I was just talking to my sister Kiara, who loves your workshops, and
mm-hmm.
it's the same experience of, I think, a lot of artists, you know, that pushing and pulling, needing to take breaks, and sometimes you need to do something else to be able to appreciate, you know, what you used to love. And I think that's people need to hear that, you know, that it's okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to pivot, yeah. right?
Totally. I mean, I went on a whole journey with the commission process. I was really anti-commission for the same idea. You know, I was like, I'm an intuitive artist. Like, I don't know what's going to come out. I can't plan it. I don't want to be a paintbrush for hire. But I started doing commissions at the end of last year. And ultimately that was like a trade-off, I guess you would say, that I made, because it allowed me to kind of plan out revenue a little bit more,
yeah.
you know, to yeah. know that at least, because that was the other scary thing. I've had a salary my whole life. Mm-hmm. And with paintings, it's like, I'll release a painting collection, make a bunch of money 1 month, and then for 2 or 3 months, not make anything.
Yeah.
NFTs became like a whole nother thing, but with commissions, I don't know if you've ever been on my commission website, but I wrote kind of like a scary commission website, like, this is my process, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it has been nice that, you know, now that I've been, you know, my art account is a couple years old, the people who have commissioned me have followed me for a while and believe in the process because they've seen my work. And it's actually been way more fun than I thought, because all of a sudden now it's really like two energies coming together. It's like they understand yeah. my process, but they have something they want to communicate, and it's actually been quite beautiful for me to get into their headspace and try something different. Like, there was one I did that had hard edges, which I never would do on my own, but actually it was quite fun, and it was it's nice to hear. I think one of the things that like amazes me, it's still so crazy to me that like my art is in people's homes. Like, mm-hmm. it feels so intimate,
yeah.
you know, like, wow, you look at something I made every day. And that is really, it is really an honor. And so for commissions to like hear about their life and what they want to feel in the room and be able to be a part of that. I mean, I did interior design for a little bit, kind of as one of my startup jobs. So space has always been very important to me, but yeah, the commission thing, it is weird. you know, the moment when someone's like, oh, I don't like it. And you're kind of
well,
I don't, what do we do?
No, I totally get that. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a tricky thing. But I feel like there's no, it really is a journey that teaches you a lot. When you think, oh, this is the comfort zone. I want to feel like I'm in flow. But then you realize after a while, it doesn't feel like you're in flow anymore. And you need that constant challenge and to get out of your comfort zone and to feel like you're just, I guess, growing your craft. And which brings me to the, I guess, the last topic for today would be like the NFT world. And, you know, I've joined your workshops and they're amazing. And I feel I still have a lot of conversations with people who are like, what is that? You know, like, why are you getting into it? What's the point? And like, I guess, you know, you've explained it really well already before, but now I guess at the heart of it, like what, because you seem like a person to like do things for the love. You are very cerebral as well, but maybe you can just share like what keeps you in the space, because it is evolving so quickly. And it's sometimes there are a lot of like pros and cons being in the world, like, but what keeps you in it? What makes you inspired?
Yeah. So I mean, the core of it is I believe the world would be a better place if more people were artists. And I define artists as broadly as possible. If more people could make a living from their creativity, from their self-expression, I think the world would be a better place. I think a lot of my own personal journey has been, oh, you froze. Am I frozen too?
One sec. No, you're good.
Okay.
Can you see me?
Yes. Sorry. I can see now. You froze for a little bit.
One sec. Am I good now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. So I was saying, I think the world would be a better place if more people were artists. I think the core, there are two kind of big barriers I see. One is fear of self-expression, which was certainly a lot of my journey, you know, expressing authentically, feeling safe to express, which is really just sharing yourself with the world, which is a tall order. And then the second part is financial empowerment. It's very hard to make a living as an artist, especially, you know, in a society that traditionally has, or at least in the recent past, has much more valued the other side of the brain. So one of the things, you know, I got my MBA, like that's how deep in the business world I was. One of the things I found very quickly from being an artist was like, oh, I'm approaching my art like a small business. Like I do marketing and all of this stuff. Yeah. And I was making these friends online, other artists who just, I'd never been taught it. So I found myself making all this content that was kind of like business literacy for artists. And that is really kind of how I got into NFTs. I mean, I got interested. I think this is like the something shiny and technologically new. But the thing that kept me in is I was just seeing all of these stories of people making money from their art for the first time. And there's kind of like really kill me. But there are also people who are making meaningful connections with artists and like who are spending money on art for the first time. And that I think is an amazing thing. So that has kind of what has kept me in the space. I think, you know, like, in one sentence, like financial empowerment for artists. And I think one of the things I have aimed to do with these NFT workshops is like, you know, it's not an easy buck. There's quite a bit of time you need to put in. And you should also be really honest with yourself because, you know, I have organized my life around trying to be on screens as little as possible. So the fact that I now, you know, made a significant amount of my income direct directly tied to being on social media more last year is kind of like, it's something I'm always watching. But kind of like the commissions, right? It's like, okay, this is a trade-off I'm willing to make because it's better than spending 10 hours at an office job that I hate. And is there a way for me to make it fun, to actually meaningfully connect with people, to just some of these low effort cartoon type projects, nothing against them. But that's what keeps in, I think, is how I would have guessed this is a year ago, but looking at it, it's very clear between business and the internet and social media and art, it kind of makes sense.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Alex. Can you hear me? Sorry. Am I clear? One sec. Can you see me, right?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. So, no, thanks so much for sharing that. I feel like that's something people need to hear, especially the ones who are like in like quarter life crisis and just figuring out if they want to leave their jobs. I think that's the trade-off. People don't really talk about that a lot. You may be earning this much money, in a 9-to-5, but then you're not happy and you could be doing what you love and doing meaningful work. And maybe not earning as much yet, but you have enough. I think that's what you want, right? To be able to spend your days
happy,
inspired, being able to connect with people. And I think that's always really difficult for people to kind of comprehend, especially when they're used to certain lifestyles. And I think that's, what's worth it? A lifestyle, staying with a lifestyle, or just maybe adjusting it for a bit to be able to do things that you like. And I think that's really important for people to hear. And really thank you for sharing your journey and sharing all your insights. I think a lot of people will resonate with that and hopefully transform their lives, and take the leap like you did. I mean, so thank you.
Totally. And it feels scary. I had that exact same self. I was having panic attacks at work to make more and more money so that eventually I can stop and be an artist.
Yeah.
I was like, when I retire, I'm going to be an artist. And I had to be like, people really crave stability. And I had to have like a serious conversation with myself with what does stability really mean, like how many needs are met, like can you take a chance on yourself and make a little less money and kind of start over, but if you believe in your like it's not like I didn't have any skills. And that's what I always tell people who want to be artists, right? It's not like you have no skills. If put a timeline on it and after a year or two it doesn't feel like it's working, you can go back to your old job, maybe not the exact one, but something similar. It's like the time is now, really.
The time is now. Yeah. Thanks so much, Alex. I really love learning about like your how far you've come. I mean, that's amazing. A lot of people are scared, to take that leap of faith, but you're like proof that it's, it is worth it and it is difficult, but what pain do you want, right? The pain of like living the life that you want, or the pain of hating your job, hating your life. And that's, that's the thing. We have the choice. We have the choice. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. At some point, like the trade-off of uncertainty is worth like the certain pain.
Exactly. Thanks so much, Alex. That was lovely. And
amazing.
Chat with you again. And, yeah,
definitely. And thank you. I was so excited when you reached out and I started watching your podcast. And you, especially being Filipino American, it's like, I'm always wondering, you know, is there anyone in the Philippines who's interested in this?
There's a lot.
Yeah, it was cool to discover that.
Yeah, and hopefully the community will grow and yeah, we can cross paths like one day, maybe in the States. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, Alex. You're inspiring a lot of people.